Today is Thursday, October the 8th, 2015. We're going to hear Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Parshas Bereishis and the events of the day.
Gentlemen and gentlemen, first of all, thanks so much for coming to the class tonight. I hope that you all had a wonderful Chag. I want to wish all of you a beautiful new year, healthy year, successful, and only know from nice things. If you'd be so kind, please take your phones and put them on vibrate or lower them down. I think everybody would appreciate it if you didn't disturb the class. I'd like to thank again for another new year. I'm looking forward to having these wonderful classes with Reb Moshe, Reb Soloveitchik, and having it here at Young Israel. It's very nice that we could schlep in, you know, all of this food and have everything ready for us. It's a very, very nice thing. And we'll probably be needing in the near future, you know, some paper goods. So if somebody's at Costco and you want to bring in some large plates,
forks and knives,
you know, that would be wonderful. You don't have to, but you should know that it's appreciated what you do. We already davened Marv. So we'll be leaving soon after the class is given. And I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos. And again, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Thanks for
coming, Jerry.
You're welcome.
And it's Fleishy. That's right, it's
Fleishy. Originally, I was going to speak or talk about the creation of man. However, in view of the events that have taken place as I was walking into the building, I felt that it's important to discuss in some form or shape a little bit about the situation going on in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the thoughts that I'll probably say, I still have to make up what I'm going to say, that some of the thoughts will probably be based on things that I've said before, and some of the thoughts will probably be new thoughts that I've not expressed here before. All right, the first Rashi, the famous Rashi, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz, in the beginning God created. So Rashi asked the question, the Torah should have began, because what is the Torah? The Torah is a book of Jewish law. Being a book of Jewish law, so it should have been a legal book. Torah should start off with the mitzvah. As a matter of fact, we know when the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael, they raised some stones and they engraved on it the mitzvahs of the Torah. So the Torah itself should not have told us about Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. In the beginning, God created Shemayim Aretz. The Ramban is somewhat troubled by it. What do you mean? The Torah didn't have to tell us. The Torah clearly should have told us, has to tell us. We have to know that God was the creator of heaven and earth. That's part of our belief in God. We have to believe that God is the creator. So the Ramban says that it didn't have to be in the Torah Shebichsav. That could have been given over in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, that has to be understood. What's the difference? If it has to be given over, So why should that have been in Torah Shebal Peh, in the oral tradition? What's the question? If it had to be given over, so for whatever reason, it's given in the Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah. That's one question. And then he says, so my time pasuk b'bereishis. So what's the reason that the Torah started with Bereishis Bara, and as the Ramban says, besides Bereishis Bara, until the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, there is so much. There is so much. There's about Avram, about Yitzchak, about Yaakov, about Noach. Why is all that in the Torah? So Rashi says, because the pasuk says that God reveals the strength of his deeds to his nation, to give them the inheritance of the nations. She'im yomru umos ha'olam, because if the nations of the world will say, listem atem, you are robbers, you are stealers, have yomer lehem, you should tell them that the kol ha'aretz la'kadosh baruch hu, everything in the world belongs to God. Hu bara, He created the nasna lasher yashar beinav, and he gave it to those that it was right for him, that he felt should get it, and he took it away from them and gave it to us. In other words, the world belongs to God, and everything is up to God. Now, there's a very famous question, and the question is, what's the purpose of us telling this to the nations of the world? What's the purpose? We know that that's not going to make a difference to them. We know it's not going to make a difference to them. And then it says, Koach Maisav Higidlamav. He told the strength of his deeds to his nation. It should say he transmitted the deeds of his strength of his deeds to the nations of the world. So the answer is, and I've mentioned this answer before, that we know that the nations of the world are not going to be impressed with our answer. Imagine at the UN, I always give this example, at the UN, somebody will, an Arab nation will get up and say, the Jews stole the land of Palestine from us. So the ambassador from Israel will stand up and take out a chumash and say, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. You think everybody's going to keep quiet? And then they'll get up and say, oh, you're right. We know that that's not going to happen. You know, the truth is, when one of the committees, pre-state, met with Ben-Gurion, so they asked Ben-Gurion, where's the rights of the Jewish people to the land of Israel? So Ben-Gurion took out the Tanakh, and he said that this is our contract to the land of Israel. Okay, whatever it is. So, but I've mentioned, what's the idea? The idea is that the Jewish people, unfortunately, we are impressed by what the nations of the world say. We are impressed. It's one of our. My father would say that we're standing right after the high holidays now, so that that we when we say chatanu mikol am, we said we sin more than any other generation. We say in the Vida Yom Kippurim, we sin more than any other generation. Or is it shayach to say that we sin more than any other generation? Or Nazi Germany? Or any of the Arab countries? Well, for that matter, the Western countries. Is it possible to say chatanu mikolam? I mean, I have my own explanation, but my father would say that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says there are three types of mitzvahs. We're used to saying that there are two categories of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, mitzvahs between man and man, and mitzvah bein adam l'makom, mitzvah between man and God. But the Gra says, he says this in Parshas Hazinu, that there are three categories of mitzvahs. There's mitzvah bein adam l'makom, between man and God, and bein adam l'chaveiro, between man and man, and mitzvahs bein adam l'atzmo, a mitzvah between a man and himself. And now we know there are three cardinal sins that a person has to give his life for. So one of them is avodah zarah, idolatry. So the Vilna Gaon says that's the symbol of a mitzvah between God and man, or a sin between God and man. Ritzicha, shvichas damim, murder, that's between man and man. Gilur Arayas, relations that are prohibited, adultery is one form, but incest and adultery. So that's the Vilna Gaon says, sometimes it could be more than that, but that's the prime example of a sin between bein adam la'atzmo. The one that he harms most is himself. It has to do, obviously, we're dealing, to use an American expression, consenting adults. So using that American expression, nevertheless, it's prohibited, and it's a mitzvah bein adam l'atzmo, between man and himself. And I asked my father for other examples. So my father said to me, he said, there's a mitzvah of midos, being rachman, being merciful. In other words, merciful, the mitzvah of doing chesed, the mitzvah of doing chesed, of doing kindness, that's bein adam l'chaveiro, v'haftal reyacha kamocha. That's between man and himself, and another person, excuse me, but, and his fellow man, but midos, having the proper character traits, and sometimes they overlap, having there is a mitzvah to have the proper character traits. In other words, rachman means to be merciful. But let's say no one is in need of mercy at the time. You're living in you're locked in a room.
Island.
An island, okay. You're locked in an island. And you're the only one there. So there is no mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro, but there is a mitzvah bein adam l'atzmo. You have to have that inner quality of mercy. That's a mitzvah bein adam l'atzmo. Midos is a mitzvah bein adam l'atzmo. Anyway, my father said, when it comes to mitzvahs bein adam l'atzmo, there is no one who sins more than the Jewish people. The Jewish people does more against themselves as a nation than any other nation. Now, whether that's the pshat in chatanu mikolam, we sinned more than any other nation, or not, that's a separate question. But the idea that my father suggested whether it is the pshat or it's not the pshat, the idea is certainly true. We have acted against our own interest more so than every other nation. So why? Because we have become impressed. We have become impressed with what the nations of the world say. In a sense, they set the criteria for us, what is considered moral and what is not considered moral. It's not that they set it by example, but they say it by word of their mouth. And if there's ever proof of that, look today. Everything that the nations of the world talked against Israel, now they themselves are caught in it. Refugees. You see how they're all standing in line to take in Arab refugees.
Oh, yeah.
Terrorism. Every time Israel would fight back terrorists. Israel was an invading party. And now? What has the impact upon us? Not what the nations of the world do, but what the nations of the world say about us. That is what has the impact upon us. And because of that, Yom Ruulecha Umos Olam Listim Atem. If the nations of the world say you are robbers, you stole the land of Israel, the land of Palestine, whatever word they want to use, have a Yom Ruulecha, you have to tell them. Not that you have to tell them in order to influence them. You have to tell them in order to influence yourself, in order that it should be as a form of protection from you being influenced by them. If you keep quiet, then what they say will have an impact upon you. You have to respond. I have to say, about Netanyahu, there are things that I can be critical of him also, but one thing about him is he responds, but not everybody responds. There are politicians in Israel, and I want to tell you, I don't take the. It's not so clear cut to me. There is something that bothers me about the refugee situation. Really, there is something that bothers me. And what bothers me is about the refugee situation. I know that I'm a Jew, and I know that the Jewish people needed places to serve as refuge for them. And I know that no country opened up their doors for us. And because of that, I am sensitive to the situation with refugees. The only thing, but the one clear distinction is that the Jewish people were not out when they were refugees. They weren't out to get anybody. They were victims.
One of the survivors.
And unfortunately, the facts have shown that many of these refugees, so-called refugees, and as it was pointed out, you don't see too many children among them, and elderly and women. There is reason to suspect. There's reason to suspect that they are going to be dangerous. And they, they have declared war, certainly in recent years, not just against Israel, but they have declared war against the rest of the world.
They're already forming.
Yes. Okay. So they have declared war against the rest of the world. So the reason we have to answer them, is because we have to protect ourselves from ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. And so that's the reason we respond. So Koach Maisov Higid La'amo, God reveals the strength of his deeds to his nation. God didn't care whether the nations of the world accept Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz. Now, what's the reason that the idea of Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh? The answer is very simple. Torah Shebichsav is something that the whole world sees. Torah Shebal Peh is something that is private and personal. Yishikenu Mishikos Pihu. God will give me kisses from his lips. Elu, this is Divrei Sofrim. These are the words, the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition. Why? That represents the private, personal relationship between God and the Jewish people. Bereishis Bara Elokim should have been part of the private, personal relationship between God and the Jewish people. What do I care if the nations of the world believe in creation or they don't believe in creation? What do I care if the nations of the world believe that God created man or they don't believe that God created man? I have to believe that. I have to believe that man has a neshama, a soul. That should have been in Torah Shebal Peh. That should have been in the private, personal relationship between God and the Jewish people. The fact that it was in Torah Shebichsav means that it was given to be said to the nations of the world. Even though we're not interested whether they accept it or not. That's what Rashi is trying to tell us. This is what I think. Okay, now, what's very interesting, and my wife isn't here yet, so I could take certain liberties that would be upset with me. My wife doesn't like when I get too critical. Not with her chas v'shalom. Can't be critical with my wife, the Pope. What's his name? I forgot already.
Francis,
yeah. Okay, so Pope Francis, on one hand, you know, he's a big liberal. He's for the common man. I might call it socialist if you want. On a certain level, he's better than many of his predecessors. He's interested that people be treated properly and all that. But he's not really, this is just my own feeling, I don't consider him to be very smart, and I'm being done him with kafsos. Now, this man refers to Abbas as the Prince of Peace. Abbas, the leader of the PLO, He refers to him as the Prince of Peace. Yeah, you didn't know that. By implication, he was suggesting that Netanyahu was the Prince of War. Now, what happened to the Prince of Peace? Immediately afterwards, he stands up in front of the UN, and the Prince of Peace announces that all the peace treaties are off. He announces, what was it, 2 weeks later? he announces that all peace treaties are off. Now, I'm not even going to criticize the Pope, because I really believe he's not very smart. But what I think is that now, some years ago, many years ago, this started with Pope John, who was a relatively nice person and nice, on some level, nice to the Jews. But then his successor was not especially great to the Jews. But so they started these eucharistical conferences. And, of course, many ran to participate in these eucharistical conferences. More than anybody else, the one that stood firm to stop Orthodox participation was my uncle. He published a paper called Confrontation, where he said, there's no problem if we meet with Catholics to discuss social problems, let it be civil rights, let it be poverty, but when we deal with religious issues, and then he listed a lot of examples of religious issues, our perception of God, their perception of God, all these type of things, he says, that we can't do. Now, and so long as my uncle Zatzal was alive, the participation of the Orthodox community in these eucharistical conferences was extremely limited. I don't know of another issue except for missionary movement. Well, missionary movements taking money from Germany. My uncle was very much opposed to that. Not everybody agreed with my uncle about that. My father disagreed. But the missionary and the economic times, those were the three issues, I think, that my uncle came out strongest about. However, after my uncle passed away, so there was a resurgence of this idea that we should, and by those who identify with the philosophy of my uncle, let's establish relationships. Why? Things are different now. Why are things different? Because there is a common enemy. Because the Muslims are out against the Jews and against the Christians, which, by the way, is true. They are out. They are out. So we need to establish a strong relationship with them. Every time an issue came up, there has never been once where the Catholic Church, I'm not talking about individual Catholics, there are individual Catholics who are very, very fine people, but the Church as a whole always supported the Muslims. They did not support the Jewish people, even when the necks of the Christians were being cut off by ISIS. I didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear the Pope.
That's what I'm saying. We didn't hear the Pope. Not a word from the Pope. Not a word. What's interesting here is he says the nations of the world will say you stole the land of the seven nations. It doesn't say the seven nations are going to say it. It says the nations of the world. They're not going to say, you stole it from us. You stole it from them. You stole it from them. What do they care? There was no UN in those days. What's the idea behind it? The answer is it has nothing to do with the seven nations of the world. The seven nations, they themselves would be opposed to the seven nations. Because the seven nations started up with everybody. But it's to be against the Jew. It was to be against the Jew. That's the reason. They used the seven nations as an example. And take a look at the European Union. European Union, and they're the ones who they always come out against Israel. They always come out against Israel. Why is it that way? Now, there's a very interesting thought from my great-grandfather, Reb Chaim. When we had the whole episode between Kayin and Hevel, Kayin and Hevel both bring korbanos. They both bring sacrifices. So Vayima Kechamim Vayave Kayin Mipri Adama Minchal Hashem. So Kayin offered to God the fruits of the ground. The Hevel Heidi Gamhu Mibchorasono Mechalvehem. And Hevel also brought the firstlings of his flock from the choicest. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'almincha'so. Hashem turned to Abel and his offering. Vel Kayin v'almincha'so l'shah. And to Kayin and his mincha, he did not turn. Vayicha l'chayin ma'od. Kayin got this annoyed Kayin exceedingly, and his countenance fell. They saw it on his face that he was upset. So, Vel Chayin Vel Mechasel Lo Shav, Vayichar L'Chayin Ma'od, he was very upset. Vayomer Hashem Al Kayin, Lo Mecharalach, Velo Melachnu Panecha. Why are you upset? Why is your face have that look? What's going on here? The Torah just tells us why. Because his sacrifice was not accepted. So what did the Torah says? That God said to Kayin, why are you upset? But God is playing psychologist. It's obvious why. What's the question that he's asking? But God was playing psychologist. God was trying to say something to Kayin. My Reb Chaim explains. It's a brilliant thought. He says, what really is it upsetting? Are you upset that I didn't accept your carbon, your sacrifice? So then just do tshuva. Just then do tshuva. That's what the pasuk says. But, or are you upset that I accepted Hevel's sacrifice? In other words, Kayin, why are you upset? That's the story. What the problem is, when Israel had to go into Gaza, every time they bombed the building, it's probably the first time in military history of the world, phone calls were made to every apartment in the building. Flyers, phone calls, announcements were made. I think the nations of the world have trouble recognizing the morality of Israel. They don't want to recognize the morality of Israel. It's not that they want to become moral. They scream at Israel about the refugees. They're not taking refugees in.
Now they are.
No, they're not. What's the idea? The idea is, it's not the morality. It's the perception of the Jewish people being moral that bothers them. That's what God said to Cain. He says, "Imtativ says, if you act properly, everything will be fine." In other words, if what you're... See, my wife is back. So, just in time. what they are concerned about is the Jewish people being recognized as being moral. Because of that. You see, because they themselves are not moral. Everything that they talk against Israel, they have done much worse. Tell me one nation that calls up, that calls beforehand. Obama calls afterwards. But who calls beforehand? Only Israel. So they have to try to bring charges against Israel in the international court. Why? Because they don't want Israel to be recognized as being moral. So my question is now, so all these people that said that we have to go out of our way to, for the sake of Israel, to establish a strong relationship with the Catholic Church. Now that you see what the Catholic Church is doing, that they consider a bus, can you come out and say, hey, I made a mistake? I want to tell you, there was a Reform rabbi in Chicago who was a friend of mine, Fred Schwartz. He passed away already, Fred Schwartz. He used to come when I would give a shiur in Chumash, he would come to my shiur. And he told me he was a rabbi in St. Paul during the Six-Day War. That was just shortly after the Pope came out for the ecumenical conferences. And Fred Schwartz was very enthused. No, he really was. He was sincerely enthused. Fred Schwartz believed that we could learn from everybody. And he was a rabbi who sat and studied. He used to say about his colleagues, he says, they go to the golf course, country clubs. He says, I study. So this is what Fred Schwartz told me. But then when the Six-Day War broke out, he turned to the Bishop of St. Paul. I forgot the name of the bishop. And the interesting thing is, I read this story in the paper at that time. That was long before I knew Fred Schwartz. But then he told me over the story, and I remember during the Six-Day War, I read in the Jewish Post an opinion. He wrote a letter in saying it. He said he turned to the bishop of St. Paul, and he suggested, you know, Nasser at that time was saying we're going to throw Israel into the sea and whatnot, and he supposedly put all kinds of bombs in the Bay of Aquaba, and there was a fear, there was a great fear at that time, I remember. So he asked the bishop, maybe you can make a statement in support of Israel. He says, we can only be neutral. So, Fred Schwartz, initially he thought we will have a good relationship. Then he realized, hey, It's a one-way. It's a one-way. It's one-way thing. I think this is the idea that Rashi says here. The idea that Rashi says here is we have to be concerned about the impact upon us. The problem is we consider it to be a great kavod to be invited by them. This is what we have to do. We have to understand that gracious Barlakim is a Shemayim Vesaretz, and we're not going to influence the nations of the world, but we have to respond and we have to answer. But the reason we have to respond and the reason we have to answer is in order that they should not have an impact on us, not because we're going to convince them.
Thank you very much.
It's really good.
Well, good.
It's been sitting well with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice.